So we're back.
Yes, and this is an interesting one. Topic six, critical blame theory. I didn't know that critical blame theory was even, maybe it's an old theory that we've never heard of before.
I think it's a study that should be done.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if it is, but anyway.
Researchers know what this is, though. I think
you'll find
that out.
Absolutely, and I think you're going to relate to this. So, number one, everything relates to somebody owes me.
Okay.
Two, those with the power are to blame for all the problems that I have in life.
Oh, interesting.
No one is at fault, and everyone is at fault.
Wow, that doesn't seem like any happy option there.
Current social manifestations, we got defund the police, we got empty the jails, we got open the borders or close the borders. More government, maybe less government. Actually, now I relate to this. I mean, if you read the news media, it's always they're at fault, they're at fault.
We have entire industries, the liability insurance industries, that try to soften the blow of critical blame theory.
Right. So everyone's blaming everyone on the one hand. It's not my fault. It's my parents' fault. It's the school's fault. It's the government's fault. It's my teacher's fault. It's my neighbor's fault. It's God's fault because he gave me this body or the DNA that I have. On the one hand, on the other hand, if people do something wrong, it's nobody's fault. It's somehow a person was born with that and they can't help it. And so it's like we go both ways with this blame thing.
Genesis chapter 3. Did God really say that you cannot eat of this fruit, and all, now God's at fault. And then later on, God confronts them when they've fallen, and it's the woman that you gave me.
Yeah, it's her fault.
Yeah. Oh no, it's the serpent. It's the who tempted us. It's his fault, and ultimately they're trying to make the case it's God's fault.
Right. Yeah. Ultimately, it comes back to that. Whether you believe in God or not, it's not my fault.
Right.
Well, where does this blame culture come from? Where does this somebody should do it for me culture come from?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah. If there is no God and no morality based on something higher than ourselves, then all there is left is me. So, what are we saying with that?
I interpret that to mean that, I've just got to be thinking about myself.
Right.
I mean, because everybody else somehow messed with me.
Right.
So I might as well mess with others.
Right. Without God and grace, how can I own up to my own faults? With grace, I can face my own failures and take responsibility for my life. So this is now we're trying to apply critical grace theory
to this problem.
To this problem. So I think the problem in the culture is, and why we have to find blame, is we have no mechanism to take the blame on for ourselves.
Right.
I mean, if there's no God and there's no forgiveness and there's no salvation and there's no pain for sins, then my identity is wrapped up with just who I am and what I do. And now you want me to take blame for the lousy things that are happening? Then how do I think about myself?
Right.
I'm already thinking bad about myself and I have nowhere to go with it other than to conclude that I'm a horrible, lousy, no good, untalented person. Or I can blame my parents.
Right.
Or I can blame the government.
Society.
Or I can blame somebody else. But with grace, if I accept that there is this thing called sin, yes, so I sin, but then there's God forgiving me, in the face of forgiveness, I can now look at my sin because I know that my whole identity is now not tied up with it. My identity is forgiven, is a forgiven person, not a total mess up and a worthless human being. Now, I've done some of those things, But my identity is now in Christ, where I've been forgiven, and now I have the strength to actually look at some of my failures.
Well, think about Adam and Eve in the garden for the whole blame game. But what did they do? They hid. You know, and that's what we do.
Yeah.
When it's someone else's fault or we're trying to deflect, that's not our fault, not our fault, not our fault. We hide in the bushes. So God comes in the cool day. Where are you, Adam and Eve? And then you see, you know. Yeah.
They hide from God when God comes around. Yeah. But also before that, they hid from each other.
Yes.
They couldn't face each other in shame.
Yes.
Yes. So, right. So sin makes you hide. It doesn't make you put it out on the table.
So you blame then hide. Blame then hide.
Yeah, yeah.
Blame then hide.
Well, that's what happens, right? They hid. And then God comes in and he says, well, what happened? Well, the woman you got.
Yeah.
Well, the serpent who came here that you created. So, you know, the hiding then leads to blame. But none of it fixes anything.
So let's talk about the sort of theory about this from a critical blame theory, grace perspective.
Okay, so number one, blame is rooted in human fallen spiritual
guilt. And we just talked about that.
Adam and Eve. Number two, without someone taking on the blame must be placed on someone else or myself.
Well, that's right.
So what do I do with this, you know, these problems that I have in my life that messes up? I either can blame someone else.
Right.
Or I can blame myself.
Well, and you see how when people blame themselves, and we've in ministry, you know what we're talking about, the ones who blame themselves, depression, woe is me, I'm the victim,
everybody
I'm horrible, and all that. But the fact is,
so most people put the blame on someone else, but people do blame themselves and go into a tailspin of depression.
Yes,
that's true. Okay, so if we apply critical grace theory, number one, someone must be blamed and something must be paid.
Now, I think is interesting, and most people don't really think about that.
Right.
But yet, if you look at everything in the news media, if there's something happened in politics in Washington, D.C., you know, there's got to be a scapegoat.
Right.
You know, there has to be somebody fired.
Right.
You know, and we wouldn't question that. We just know that is how it is.
Right.
If somebody kills someone, they go on trial, and if they're found guilty, they're put into jail.
Right.
I mean, we don't question that. We don't say, well, why does that exist in society? We understand that there is such a thing as atonements and blaming and punishment. And we, in humanity, we do it all the time. I mean, when a child needs to go time out, the child goes time out.
Right. But I think, you know, it's there even when we don't see it. So, for example, when someone needs to be forgiven and let's say you stole $10 from me, and then I say, you know what, I'm just going to let it go.
Right.
Now, who paid? You didn't pay.
Right.
But I did.
Yeah.
Right? I chose to pay the $10 that you stole. So someone always pays.
Well, I'm thinking about credit reports. You know, it's like you don't pay your credit card if you have one.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you get a fee, a fine. If you don't pay your fee or fine, you get reported to the whole world what a bad person you are. I mean, so there's...
Well, and ultimately, maybe you don't have to pay, but the company does, and then they pass it on to all the rest of the people.
Yes.
Nobody pays. Nothing is not paid.
Well, and I think it's fascinating how people... This is one of the most pertinent points that drive our humanity, and yet it's one of the most ignored points.
Yes. Well, when it comes to Christianity, it's like people don't understand that. Why would this atonement thing and Jesus dying on the cross, what sense does that make?
Yeah.
When it makes perfect sense in every other area
of our lives, except that, and then they'll criticize the Bible. And you've heard that, maybe. Yeah. You've heard that, where someone says, well, isn't that child abuse to have God the Father send his son to pay?
And the reality is
the blood of Jesus, the currency, to pay for the deficit that we owe.
Right.
And that's a great love.
Right.
You know, and we've heard stories and metaphors on how, you know, I know this one, I remember back in the 1980s, there's trains going to go over a trestle, and the son of the, you know, or the son of the bridge
operator all of a sudden climbed down to where the cogs and everything were, and then he had to make a decision about all these people in the train, and then the train's coming, and he looks, and finally he pushes the button, kills his own son, the train goes by, and the people are just going through. Now, I remember that from, this is a 25 or 30 year old metaphor, you might have heard that one too back then, but you know, in some ways, we would all say that that man is a hero. But today, some people will call him a child abuser.
Right.
So is he a hero or is he a child abuser? Right, right, right. But it's all about this whole issue of blame. And your point that we'll ignore it when it comes to all of our lives. But when it comes to God's love for us that he needed to send his son, we'll go like, well, why does the Bible talk about that? Doesn't make sense to me.
Yes. So number two, God steps in with his grace through sending his son to die on the cross to take on the blame.
2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Hebrews 9:22, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness.
Right. So this is the very heart of the gospel.
Right.
That the only way out of the blame game is God stepping in and taking the blame for us.
Yeah.
And now it seems weird because once God comes in and takes the blame for us, we now have the power to take on the guilt of our own sin.
Yeah.
In other words, we can admit it's in the context of being forgiven that I can look at what I've done wrong.
Yes.
So it's in the context of grace that you actually have the courage, the strength to look at your own faults instead of passing them on to others and blaming other people. You start going, how have I been the problem in this marriage?
Right.
How have I been the problem as the parent? Yeah. How have I been
the
problem? You
actually have new resources to be curious about things, about your growth. About
now, let's say the whole world did that. Everyone is looking at how they could maybe improve something, where they could change something in their life, instead of how everybody else could change. What would happen in marriages? What would happen in families? What would happen in society?
Right. And then number three,
once we receive the grace offered through salvation, we can now confront the blame as it relates to ourselves and others.
That's right. In Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you.
Right.
So what you're saying and what we're saying here is that the resources by which to love others is because we're loved first. In a sense, that's a currency. That's a payment. So now it's like we're lavished with love, and our bank account is now filled to the overflowing, and now we can love others. We can forgive others.
Yes. And so all of a sudden the blame game comes to an end.
Right.
There's like a solution to it, whereas without God, without the salvation, without Jesus dying on the cross, we're stuck in this endless cycle because I blame you, and what are you going to do?
Yeah,
you're
going to
blame me.
Or myself. I call it the cycle of self-loathing.
Yes.
You know, we're like stuck in the cycle of self or other loathing.
Yeah.
To the
self
point
and other loathing. That's what it is. So
it's like,
that's what's interesting because anger out towards others is blame. Anger in is that whole depression that you're talking about. But we don't know where to go with either one.
So in ministry now, I mean, this is actually, you know, you might be watching this, you're not really into ministry yet. Maybe you're an active Christian checking out this mini class. Maybe you're in ministry. I'll tell you, this is the core of it all.
Yeah.
There is not a sermon that I've ever written that doesn't touch upon critical blame theory and the critical grace theory that gives the answer to this problem.
Right. It's the heart
of the gospel. This could be the most important session that you as a minister have heard in this whole topic because it actually almost covers everything. This could almost be like the first one.
Right.
And every other thing could be understood through.
Well, and that's why if you have people that are struggling with all the other ones that we've talked about, race, gender, all these other things, that's why we've said in one of the lectures that getting them connected to Christ might be the first thing you try to do rather than argue one of those things, because mm-hmm. without the grace in their life, you're not going to be able to convince them of anything.
No. Well, and again, I just go to my own life, your life, my family, thousands of stories that you have submitted in. I mean, there's always a similar pattern. You know, many of you raised as a Christian, then all of a sudden walked away and then blamed everybody, blamed your parents, blamed, and at some point you came to the end of your rope, the end of your resources, and all you could do was receive the grace of God.
Right.
And once you receive that grace, you got a calling. Right. And everything changed. Yeah. This is the core of the gospel.
Yeah.
So, one more thing I'm curious what you think about is what happens to those who are in depression right now?
Yeah.
That are just, they have clinical depression. And, you know, and what I don't want to do is say that, that you know, that this worldview fixes all things.
No.
We have biology.
Yes. Yeah, so some depression is biologically related,
mm-hmm.
and getting those things in shape or in order, and there's you know, various things that can be done or not done. Sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. Sometimes this is a burden that you bear. I remember one guy who was depressed, he was a minister, he said, you know, I'm just not happy.
Right.
And he went on and on, and finally I looked at him and I said, well, maybe you're not supposed to be. Maybe your role in this life is
to be Lamentations.
God. Yeah, and God has a special plan for you that includes whatever it is that you're struggling with.
Right.
And that, you know, it's a bummer. Right. But on the other hand, it's an honor. You know, some of the, you know, Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and and God thought him worthy of, you know, bearing this up. But if it's not a clinical depression, you know, that maybe some of the maybe, you know, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've accepted His love, but there's a lot of, you know, maybe you had parents that didn't accept you or didn't love you. And so ultimately you have a hard time accepting the love, really.
Yeah.
You say the words, but you really don't let His love flow over you. And maybe it will just take time, or maybe you just need a lot of living examples of God's love, loving you, to get you to have that sense that you can be forgiven, that you can be loved, that you are special, that you are somebody. I mean, some of these things can happen within the body of Christ as well when you discover your gifts. I don't have any gifts. Well, you know, so sometimes it takes, you know, some pushing and prodding and trying, and it can take time. Some of these just take time.
So, critical blame theories. Most powerful solution is critical grace theory at its core.
Yeah, at its core.
Very good.